You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM. That's every Thursday at this time with the folks from Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On June 30th, 2022. There goes June.
How's that possible?
Bye-bye.
It's great to be here. Thank you on Thursday. And Heidi Cartwright joining us. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It is gorgeous. Managing Executive and RICP and Shea Pataja, our CXO. Welcome to you both. Shea. Great to be here. You bet.
We've got a very full show today.
We do. It is jammed. Yes, we could use 2 hours, but we don't have it. So we want to jump right in. And we're talking today about the SECURE Act updates to that, regulations updates, and then also planning for chronically ill and disabled individuals. Lots of new information going on there as to how to handle that, what that might look like. And then also, if we do have time, which I'm hoping we will, the new mortgage interest rate environment and how to qualify for mortgages, some of the general things you want to think about in the financial realm. How much mortgage can you afford based on your salary, income, and assets that Heidi will be talking about? And then Shay's going to do some stats, too. Cool stuff. Before we start on our material, I had a great question from Paul.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul. Is this the ultimate financial planner dilemma? He says, as has been touted by many money managers, it's been a general rule of thumb that withdrawals during retirement should start at approximately 4%. Mm-hmm. I know, not an absolute, but a starting point for planning and always based on individual circumstances, but bear with me. Thank you, Paul, for that disclosure. It's perfect. Then in subsequent years, it is appropriate to adjust upward to accommodate the rate of inflation. Now, first of all, there are several ways to adjust that. You can adjust it with inflation. You can adjust it, obviously, then also with the value of the accounts. So there are ways that you can do this to adjust it to make it more dynamic, if you will. Coincidentally, when the market enters a downturn or a bear phase, financial planners will recommend cutting back on the 4% or whatever percentage one might be withdrawing to preserve one's portfolio value. As we are currently experiencing both of the above conditions, to which side of the equation do you subscribe? It's interesting. I subscribe to several parts of the equation. First off, if you can make adjustments, do, especially if you're taking income from variable accounts. Had many conversations with clients just in the last weeks about this very thing. What could we adjust? Had a couple of clients come in the other day. They'd paid off some debt. They said, we can cut our revenue down, in this case, by about $1,100 a month. And we're thinking we want to stop income from our TD Ameritrade account. I said, what a great idea. Their other incomes are coming from fixed assets. So given that's the case, where, number one, is the income coming from? Where is it coming from? Is it impacted by the markets? If that's the case, then by all means, you can adjust. Should you? Well, second, what asset within those accounts is it coming from? Is it coming from a stock-based investment? Generally, we don't set that up for clients to do that. But if it is for in your individual situation, what a great way to adjust that downward if now you can do that. Thirdly, do you have the space to cut the income? Do you have the space to do that? Or do you need to for it to remain the same? Fourth, where should that income be coming from? What a great time to review this. Are there other assets that you could withdraw from? withdraw from? Well, yes, I guess we've got that old 403B account that's in that, you know, down in the dumps fixed annuity over there. Never gets any respect, if you will. In fact, I've had clients say, well, you know, that thing gets 3.5%. It just always stays, you know, so level and staid, if you will, S-T-A-I-D. Should we draw from that versus, you know, the variable account? Shouldn't we leave that be? And the answer almost always is no. No, by all means, no. Take it from the fixed asset account. Isn't this fun? Seriously, have you ever seen someone complain about a fixed payment? No. Pension payments. Fixed payments tend to make happier retirees. Happy retirees, happy home. So if you can take or have consistent income, darling, you worked so hard on that real estate, you know, that sort of thing, real estate income, if it's consistent, that can make a huge difference. If you don't have to adjust it when times are bad, it makes no sense to adjust it. We can't adjust it. It's coming in every month, as it were, okay? So take a look at your situation. Can you adjust it? Where is the income coming from? Count the cost, all right?
Why do people want to reevaluate at this time? Is because the market's down,
markets
inflation's
down.
Up. And
right, and you don't necessarily want to draw from an account that has lost value because you add insult to injury.
Ah, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, sir.
Yes. So if you're having to liquidate that asset, I'm sorry, the word asset always, I want to make a joke, but it's not appropriate. Thank you. So that particular asset is not perhaps the place that you want to draw income from. All right.
And if you're drawing income from several places, you said, you might want to sit down with a financial planner.
Reevaluate. Where's it coming from? Does it make sense? Could we increase it from the fixed areas? Possibly so.
Mm. Well, Dennis and Heidi, when you sit with people, you'll say, we want you to take the RTQ, which stands for the
Risk Tolerance Questionnaire.
Because oftentimes people assume they have a higher level of risk than they do in reality. So when the market drops like this, you seem to be getting more calls and meetings.
Well, it definitely is testing people's comfort with being able to ride out the volatility that we're experiencing right now. So it is sort of like waking some people up to maybe I'm not as risky as I had thought. And other people are like, oh, you know what? This really doesn't bother me. I thought I was pretty conservative, but you know, I think the way I have things planned that I'm comfortable. So, you know, it can go both ways, but usually people are backing away from that risk.
Everyone is different. And reevaluating right now, what a great thing. Small adjustments, you'd say. Some people might say, well, is that really going to make any difference? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These small, minor adjustments that you can make now can make a tremendous amount of sense 1-2 years out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And possibly make put you in a better position. Why not?
Yeah, especially folks who met with you 5 years ago and now they're that much closer to retirement. It's it's definitely a good time to reevaluate.
Can we still do this? Does it still make sense? Run the numbers for us. Help us. You know, that can really help galvanize the goal that, you know, dear, we can retire in 2 years as we planned.
I think, too, to Heidi's topic about mortgages, it's if you want to buy a second home or you have a second home or you're trying to think about where you're going to live in the summer and winter with your retirement plan, these interest rates do affect people's plans and what they're thinking about.
They do. They do indeed. Everybody's trying to afford these hybrid cars, you know, they're expensive. Radical.
I think my budget is more the electric bike, but
yeah. Well, man, those are popular. It's amazing, you know. I've got some real pro bicycle riders just because you took us on that rabbit trail. It's way too much fun, but they have talked about how huge those electric bicycles are for those who are even older, like us, Ron, right? And maybe older than us. Who still want to ride, but they you know, kind of maybe a bit overwhelmed with trying to keep up with the group. Well, all of a sudden, these electric bicycles are helping them do that, and they're still able to participate. And the exercise component. Mm-hmm. That's the phrase I wanted.
Cardio.
Read the cardio tends to stay right up there, even with the electrical assist.
There you go.
That's brilliant.
You said some bicycles, sir. So, the 2022 Secure Act regulation frequently asked questions. Why should I want to care or know about this? This legislation has been proposed as of February 23rd of 2022. The IRS ended the wait and released new proposed regulations on RMDs from IRAs and workplace retirement plans. Well, specifically, we're talking about those who inherit these accounts. Proposed legislation is different than proposed regulations, rather. The new regulations are proposed to apply for determining RMDs for 2022 and later. Hello, that's this year.
That's this year, right? That's right now.
They should be used immediately. So these regulations, most of them, most likely will be instituted. So it's likely that it may be a while until anything is settled, but you should use the proposed regulations. Ignoring these rules because they're only proposed is risky, according to this article from Ed Slott.
Ed Slott.
Yeah, so because they're changing, especially if you are a beneficiary of an IRA from mommy, dad, sister, brother, others who are not spouses, then this can make a huge difference for you.
Even if you're a beneficiary of a beneficiary.
Ah, there you go. Mom passed away in this instance, passed it away to brother. Sister, Heidi, was the inheritor. He named you.
Right.
Because you're the favorite sister, of course.
Of course.
In this case, then you have to continue his RMDs that he was taking. The biggest surprise is the new RMD rules is the reappearance of an old rule. This rule requires annual required minimum distributions to continue apace because they have been started already. So if your deceased relative had already been taking RMDs, you have to continue them. Hmm. You must continue them. That must be part of the equation. So once started, must continue. Even if your life expectancy is different and you are able to use your life expectancy in this case, which often will not be the case, you have to continue those RMDs. The most widespread impact of this rule can be found when a non-eligible designated beneficiary inherits from a retirement account owner who dies on or before the required beginning date. The beneficiary would normally be subject to the 10-year rule in this case. Take it all out by the end of the 10th year. Yeah. But what this is saying is that the annual required minimum distributions are required during the 10-year payout. Simply saying they're going to want you to empty these accounts over a 10-year period. You have to take a required minimum distribution. Obviously, you can take more than that as a beneficiary, but most likely continuing in that category, if you will, of having to take required minimum distributions along the way.
So basically what you're saying, Dennis, is it's complicated, and if you're in this situation, you might want to ask some questions to keep yourself out of tax trouble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emptying the account is the goal at the end, but also taking required minimum distributions along the way could be a key component. Now, it's not a big deal. Again, if this is a $10,000 IRA account, you do want to know those rules. But it really matters when we get into the $50,000, $100,000, $500,000 accounts. Which rules are we following? Which do we have to follow? And what's our required minimum? All right. So if it's a minimum, that's fine. But should we take more? And is this coming out of a Roth IRA? This still points up to the value of considering Roth conversions over time as well. And I see that hand over there. Yes, Ron?
I have a question. So if you're the beneficiary or the beneficiary of a beneficiary and you have to take the RMDs and you don't really need the money, can you take that RMD and put it somewhere else into another retirement account?
Great, great question. We often have clients do that. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. You can reinvest it while you have to pay the tax on it. If it's a regular or traditional IRA account, you can still decide to reinvest. All right? So it well can be a reinvestment, and it could easily make sense. Many times we have clients directly transfer their RMD from their IRA account to a joint account, in this case if it's with a spouse. to go ahead and reinvest the proceeds from that.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I put the fin in financial. No, really, I'm Finnish. And it's pronounced sauna, not sauna.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio. We have appropriate professionals in the studio. It's Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, and Shea Pataja.
Hey, Ron, thank you. We love, I think I can speak for us all, doing this radio show. Of course, we love Northern Michigan and WTCM for allowing us to be on this program and in Northern Michigan for a little over 15 years now. I was telling a client the other day, I said, he was saying, would you still, that's been good for you? I said, yeah. I said, it's been very good for our business, but it's also a great outlet and a force for us, if you will, to stay up to speed on all the information and what's going on. What should we be talking about? We get inputs from clients, questions, What about this? What about that? Talk about it on the radio. So for that connection, we are very thankful. And we appreciate being able to help you possibly celebrate this July 4th coming up. Just love it. All right. Shay, stats.
Yeah, and speaking of the radio show, next week, Dennis, you will not be here, but Heidi and I will be teaching on taxes and transitions. So we wrote some great material and content for a class specifically about those two things. Mm-hmm. And Heidi will be going over the tax implications of retirement accounts and what it can mean and when you should withdraw and all of those strategies that are very important. And as most of you know, I'm a certified life coach and I work with retirees on the transition side of things. So I'll be talking about some of the triggers and strategies that you can come up with in retirement to help you with that transition, whether or not you were expecting it or not expecting it. So that's next week's show. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, you can come see us at, I believe, the Pepsi tent and the ice cream tent or pie.
Yeah, we're
ice
volunteering cream
and cherry
next
pie
week.
Yes.
Wait.
At the Cherry Festival. We'll be volunteering on Friday the 8th at the Cherry Festival with our whole staff. So you can come and visit us from 9 to 2:30.
Really?
9 a.m. to 2:30. Mm-hmm.
For pie and ice cream.
We will celebrate
and
you
Pepsi.
If you have
Pepsi,
pie at 9 a.m.
Pie and ice cream.
Hello.
Hello.
All the good things.
Yes. So, all right, here's some Shea stats. Every 1 percentage point increase in mortgage rates reduces property sales by 10%. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 5.81% on June 23rd of 2022, up from 4.42% just 3 months earlier on March 24th at 22. So that's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Legislation has been introduced in the Senate in March 2022 and the House on June 16th of 2022 that would make it easier for U.S. small businesses to offer retirement plans. The Starter K Act would allow for pre-tax employee contributions up to $6,000, but would include reduced upfront employer setup costs and a provision that would make matching contributions optional for employers. And that's from Congress. This one is titled All in the Same Boat. As of June 16th, 2022, central banks in 45 nations globally have raised interest rates in an effort to bring down the spending demand of consumers in the respective countries, and that's from FactSet. The annual interest cost on the U.S. national debt is forecasted to be $399 billion for the current 2022 fiscal year, then rising to $1.194 trillion a decade down the road during the fiscal year 2032. 10 years ago, the fiscal year 2012, the annual interest cost on the national debt was $220 billion, and that's from the Congressional Budget Office. Excuse me, I think I had too much coffee this morning from morsels. I'm starting to stutter. Average credit card debt per household in the United States as of March 31st of 2022 was $6,600. So it's getting more expensive. That's from the Federal Reserve. And lastly, are you flying? 2.43 million people went through TSA screening last Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. That quadrupled the 623,624 that did so 2 years earlier, so 2020. Remember the amount of airline stats we had during the height of the pandemic?
You bet.
And that's from the TSA.
Coffee kind of makes me nervous when I drink it.
That basically sums
Thank you
it
for
up.
That very
Shay, your voice is
quote.
Getting deeper there with that coffee.
Yes, well, it's the lavender vanilla iced latte by the river that did it.
Hey, thanks, morsels. So, Heidi, how much mortgage can you afford based on your salary, income, and assets?
Right, and this is an article that comes to us from MoneyWatch, and there's so much real estate activity going on around us right now. We thought this might be an interesting topic. What you want to do is you want to zero in on your home buying budget. What can you afford? What can you afford to pay for that mortgage? So first, you want to look at your total income that you're bringing in each month, and also consider some of the monthly payments or any debts that you already have. So generally speaking, no more than 25% to 28% of your monthly income should go towards your mortgage payment. And that is something that comes to us from Freddie Mac. So that's sort of like a target that you can look at. Now, if you have income that varies, maybe you're in a sales position or something like that, you want to take that into account in that monthly budget if you don't have a steady income number. So not only do you want to look at your budget, you know, the banks, the people who make the mortgages and lend you the money, they're going to look at a couple other things to help to see how much they're going to be willing to lend you for a real estate purchase. So some of those things include your credit score. For the lowest rates, they like to see something above 740 points. And then there's your debt to income ratio. So how much of your monthly income is going to be used to be paying debt, whether that's other things like car loans or maybe credit cards and stuff like that. So they're going to look at your debt to income ratio. Your assets that you have in savings. What are those balances that you have in savings and checking accounts? Having more liquid assets makes you less of a risk. So that might go into the equation as well.
Another good point too there. Fannie Mae says lenders typically want your total debts to account for no more than 36% of your pay.
That's right.
So that's another interesting combination or ratio that you want to take a look at too.
Right. And then another thing that you may want to look at or lenders may talk to you about is what is that loan term that you're going to have? Are you trying for a 15-year or a 30-year? If you go for a 30-year, your payments are usually lower. So that's something that maybe you can, if you were looking at a 15-year, maybe look at a 30-year if too much of your budget's going towards that mortgage payment.
And of course, always keep in mind that the, well, 30-year mortgages tend to cost more in terms of interest rate. Obviously, you're going to be spending a lot more over that time if you hold that mortgage for the full 30 years. Another thing to think about is that it does give you the space, so the flexibility. Mm-hmm. You can always make more of a payment if you want to, if you decide you want that 30-year time frame to allow yourself more flexibility if your income fluctuates. So
right.
Lots of
you
things
can just
you can
pay
think about.
More each month and whittle
yes.
down that principal balance more
Indeed.
Quickly than that 30 years.
Indeed. And then if you do that and interest rates have then come down later, you can always possibly qualify for a 15-year mortgage later too. Although I don't know many who think interest rates are going to come down, obviously, at this point.
You All never right. know.
You don't know. That's the thing.
So another thing is your loan type. Are you getting an FHA loan or maybe a conventional loan? Or there's even jumbo mortgages. And all those different choices are going to make an impact on what the bank might approve. There's also what kind of rate are you going to pay? Are you going to pay a fixed or are you going to pay an adjustable rate? That also has an impact on the mortgage. Some other costs that you want to think of and not forget about: if your down payment is less than 20% of the home purchase price, you may be required to pay PMI, which is private mortgage insurance. So keep that in mind. And also, those taxes are involved as well. So property taxes is something that you need to consider as well, because you have to pay those too.
Yes, indeed. Yep. So I would recommend, I know it's been talked about probably by Jack Lane as well. Not probably. I think I heard him speak about this last Saturday. He's on Just Before Us.
On Saturday.
You guys knew that, right?
Yeah.
So given that's the case, get a pre-approval. Everyone else is. But get a pre-approval. Find out what your space is in terms of affordability so that you know before you go, if you will, what can we afford? What are we comfortable with? And given that the prices are appearing to be somewhat more affordable today.
Slowing.
Yeah, the rate of increase may be slowing somewhat, at least. You know, it may be a good time. So think about it.
We had one text question from something you talked about earlier. Is pension taxable, state and federal taxes?
It's going to depend on your age. Certainly taxable federally. And in terms of state, that's something you'll have to look up in regards to your age with the state of Michigan.
Hmm. All right. All right.
You bet. So next is planning. Do we need to take a break first?
Well, we're going to finish with our break. So we have about 2 minutes to wrap up here, a little
All
over
right.
2 minutes.
Planning next, the last part, planning for disabled and chronically ill IRA beneficiaries. There are a lot of ways you might possibly stretch out the income for chronically ill and or disabled beneficiaries if they're a beneficiary. But think about this. Could that impact then their Medicaid and or SSI payments? If that's the case, we're talking more advanced estate planning. In some cases, you may want to take a look at a properly structured trust that would be, in essence, a spendthrift trust that would control how much this chronically ill or disabled beneficiary could receive. And within that IRA, then, would still allow that person to qualify for the Medicaid and SSI benefits. So these IRAs, whether Roth or regular IRAs, and or even life insurance benefits, remember to take a look at the whole picture. If you have disabled or even a learning challenged beneficiaries that you want to help and who qualify for these other benefits or may qualify for these benefits, you may want to include these as part of your estate plan. How do we control those control those incomes to those beneficiaries or beneficiary so that they can still qualify? And then you can take care of them after you're gone, whether that's through, again, life insurance, whether that's through an IRA or Roth IRA account.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.